Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Hey, welcome everyone. This week is exciting because we're into the weeks of comfort, much better than the weeks of... Everybody knows the lesson, very important lesson. It's actually a verse in Mishlei, in Proverbs. It says, the left hand pushes away and the right hand brings near. Which most people were righties in those days. And the implication is, it says, "Smol docha v'yahamin mekarevis." The left hand pushes and the right hand... sometimes in life, it's necessary to give rebuke or show you're upset, but the power of bringing near has to be much stronger than the power of distancing. Because the left hand isn't as strong, the right hand is stronger. We have 3 weeks of, angry Haftorahs, so to speak, where Hashem says, you're doing wrong, you got to fix this, it's not going to be good. And then we have 7 weeks of love, of comfort, of love, of Hashem's love for the Jewish people. But that the 7 to 3 is the just the ratio. We always have to keep that in mind. You know, life, sometimes you have to say a nasty word to someone. Somebody's not nice, pick up your clothes, do something. But for every... rebuke, there has to be twice as many compliments, twice as many kind words, at least. And so but that's institutionalized in the Haftorahs. So we missed last week, Shabbos Nachamu. That was the first of the seven. And now we're at the second of the seven, which is on page 1197. And I'm going to connect it to today, which is a very important day, which is, today's a holiday, actually. Today is called Tu B'Av. Tu B'Av. Oh, okay. Someone's at an ice cream shop in Florida, and they didn't recognize the Hechsher. This was it. It was on their vacation, and it was okay, so I let them know. Okay. But I think that's the same. Or maybe there was maybe the topping has this term. So the connection is the following: the Mishnah in Tainus mentions that the two happiest holidays for the Jewish people were Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av, which is just remarkable. Like, we always think of Yom Kippur as being sad and being tragic, and it's just the way you look at it, really. To us, to the Jewish people, when they went to the Beis HaMikdash and they saw the wool turned white and the Kohen Gadol went in there and we all got atonement, it's a great day. It's a wonderful day. I mean, we know we make mistakes. Sometimes you can't fix mistakes. But the idea that Hashem forgives our mistakes and makes us close with Him again and allows us a new chance and shines us a year of blessing, Yom Kippur was the best day. It was the best day of the year. It was they found that they used to have shiduchim on Yom Kippur, too. People would meet each other. It's interesting. It's a funny day. The other day where the people would meet was on Tu B'Av, which was the 15th of Av, which is today. And at one time, this was a very important holiday. And Gemara lists many things that happened on the holiday. The very beginning of the holiday was that we goofed in the sin of the spies. And it was decreed that that generation could not go into the desert and they would die out in the desert. And what happened was, typically the people would go to bed Tisha B'Av night, and every year the quota would pass away on Tisha B'Av, those people that didn't were part of that decree. The final year of Tisha B'Av, or when the decree ended, nobody died on Tisha B'Av. But the calendars weren't so good in those days, and they thought they might be off, and they weren't really sure until Tu B'Av that... they all lie down thinking they might be in the grave. They might not make it up. Maybe who's considered in the previous generation? Who's the next generation? When did it start? When did it count? How old did he? What if it's before the bris? What if it's after the bris? Nobody knew exactly. There was a lot of confusion. And so it wasn't until Tu B'Av that the people realized that they were part of the next generation, or that Hashem had forgiven the final group and that they could go in. So the very first Tu B'Av was a sign that whatever Hashem was upset with us in the past, now we'd be okay. In other words, there was a generation that tried Hashem and tested Hashem and didn't want to go in and didn't have faith and kept on making issues and complaining, that generation was gone and it was a new generation and the past was the past and it was a whole new start. So that was the very first Tu B'Av. And the other things that happened were similar. The Tu B'Av was like a new start. During the second Beis HaMikdash, the Yerushalayim was actually not the largest city of Jews. The largest city of Jews was in Beitar. Beitar was a city in Israel. Now everybody knows the name Beitar because the Likud had they used that name for one of their groups. It's called Beitar. But there is a city today called Beitar, which is close to the ancient city. Beitar was destroyed. It was equal to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. It was the most populous city. There were millions of people that died in Beitar. And the Romans, after the destruction of Beitar, wouldn't allow anybody to bury the dead. So not only did they wipe out the Jewish people, but the bodies were just left out for many, many years. And it was awful because it was a sign that until the horrors of the last generation are mourned and buried, you can't begin again because it was just in front of them. On Tu B'Av, they finally said, "Okay, we'll let you bury them." That was the sign that the Romans they felt so. The Jews were very fierce fighters, and they gave the Romans a run for their money. They were so angry. That was one of the reasons that they didn't let us bury our dead. But they finally did on Tu B'Av. Again, Tu B'Av was a sign that whatever anger, it was really an anger from Hashem, whatever anger Hashem had with us, now that was in the past. And that's a big happiness because these things happen. Sometimes you goof, sometimes they goof, sometimes there's misunderstanding. And there is an anger, but the idea that, okay, that's the past. Now we're going on from here. It's not going to last forever. We don't have to be enemies forever. We don't have to fight. It's going to. That was the idea of that in the Haftorah we're going to see that some Jews felt that once Hashem sent us away, that was it. There's a concept of divorce in Judaism when husband and wife are not meant for each other. And in Hebrew, the word for divorce, it says get krisus. It's a divorce, a complete separation. Once they're divorced, they're not connected in any way. That's it, really. Once they're divorced, their marriage is totally done. So some people felt, well, Hashem kicked us out of the land of Israel. Hashem's presence isn't with us. So we're finished. We're not connected to Hashem anymore. So one of the lines we're going to see is Hashem said, I never did that. Where's the divorce? There's no divorce here. This was a separation. This was a timeout, so to speak. And we're coming back together. And we're going to see that in the words of the Haftorah. But that, it's so interesting. That's actually the theme of Tu B'Av somewhat, that whatever mistakes we made, whatever our sins were, we're coming back. And at the end of the Haftorah, it talks about coming back to the Garden of Eden, which ultimately we get kicked out. But being kicked out doesn't mean forever. We're coming back to the Garden of Eden. Our mistakes are temporary. That's part of the human condition. We make mistakes, but we're all coming back. And that's one of the themes of Tu B'Av. There are other themes in Tu B'Av as well. There are other interesting things that happen, but you almost need a class just on that subject. But this Haftorah at least has those two themes. So let's begin. V'tomartio. So the Jewish people or the land of Israel says, Azvani Hashem, Hashem's rejected me. So there's some people say it like either Hashem's abandoned me or Hashem Shochenu, Hashem forgot me. He's not thinking about us. At one time we were on his mind. He thought about us. Now we don't get any calls. We're here. So those were, so really what this Haftorah is, it's reassuring us that Hashem never forgets us, that Hashem is thinking about us all the time. But that's how even when people are feeling that way or saying that, where is Hashem? Hashem says like this, Hatishkach Isha'u, the greatest love is always thought of like a mother with a little child. A little child was totally dependent on the mother. They get big and they're less dependent. Maybe they're not as connected or they don't need each other as much. But a little child, it needs its mother, and the mother would never forget this child. physically, especially if a woman is nursing, she can't forget the child because her body, you know, tells her it's time to nurse, that your baby needs to be fed. So Hatishkak Isha Ula Mirechem Ben Bitna, do you think a woman will forget the child? Like Hashem says the Jewish people is Hashem's precious child. It's Hashem realizes we're dependent on him, just like that nursing child, the only food it has is its mother's milk, and it needs its mother. Hashem says, Anochi, the Anochi, I, lo ishkachek. Person should never worry. Hashem doesn't forget us. Chas v'shalom. That's Hashem could never forget the Jewish people and would never forget us and didn't abandon us. Now, what do you do if you want to remember something? Tie a yellow ribbon around you tie a ribbon around your finger or you write it on your finger. So this is what Hashem says. You know what? Hashem says, I wrote it on my hand. I engraved it on, I wrote handwriting on it. Don't forget, you know, the Jewish people needs me. And your walls are in front of me all the time. So there's a big difference when somebody expresses anger or there's a distance, and he's coming back, and he's going to take care of them, and he's going to show his love between somebody who totally forgot them. So that's what Hashem said. Hashem never forgot us, and Hashem loves us, and we're Hashem's precious child. 17. Miru banecha. His children have to hurry up, and they have to do teshuvah. You know, we have to... Hashem's just waiting for us to stop whatever behaviors that were causing him to distance himself or to turn away. Mir, we have to hurry up. Marisayek makrivayek mimcha ye'ai. What about all those Gentiles that are destroying us and causing trouble with us? They're going to disappear. 18. Savi savi ve'einayich. Raise your eyes. Uri kulam nikasu. See that everybody's going to gather together. Bo'ola, people are going to come back. Nu mashem ki kulam ka'ade tilbush. He says the people will come together. V'tikashrena kakala, and they'll be adorned. He's describing the Jewish people are going to seem to come out of the woodwork when the time comes for redemption. 19. Ki chavrusaya kishemosayach. What about the ruins and destruction? Harusaya ki ata. Right now, they'll be fixed. And these empty lands will become crowded. If you go to Israel today, it's becoming crowded. You know, you have places that... But thank God, it's just wonderful to look at, to see the busy cities and to see the... When I went, I was there a few years back, and I didn't quite have the stop where to get off in the bus. And I had to wait. I missed my stop, and then the bus kept on going. And I had such a good time because I couldn't believe how Israel had grown, that they had all these buses. Every stop was like, wow, that's how far the city, look at that. Another stop, like another, you know, all these neighborhoods that they kept on adding on. When I was a kid, I knew the bus, you know, when I was younger as a college student, a yeshiva student, I knew the bus stops, and I knew, and I took the same bus, and it, you know, there's all these new places that weren't there before, new neighborhoods, new places that you hear about all the time. And so that's what Hashem says. It's going to be crowded over there. This empty land is going to be crowded with inhabitants. Now, what about those people who are enemies that want to swallow us up? Don't worry. Those are going to be far away. So we'll be able to come back. So we're still hoping for that second part. We're trying to get rid of those that want to swallow us up. Verse 20. We really should be thankful because the most worrisome neighbors were the Syrians and the Egyptians, and they both are not likely to be threatening us for a long time, if at all. You know, in other words, Syria is totally, you know, demolished as a force, and Egypt also was much weaker than it used to be, and we focus on our problems. We got to worry about Iran, and we got terrorists, but it's not the same sort of problem. During the Yom Kippur War, and during the earlier wars, there was a real danger that Egypt and Syria would crush the Jews. They had more tanks and more planes and more armies than we had. And Hashem took care of them both in the last 2 years. The Egyptian army was, and the Syrian army were more, Syrian more so, but even Egypt with the Muslim Brotherhood and I'm just pointing it out that we have a lot to be thankful for, even though we're all worried about Iran and we're worried about, you know, the Gaza and it's just... But our enemies are distance. Those who want to swallow us up, they're far away. Verse 20. Od yomer baznek b'nei shuchulaych. But the Jewish people are bereaved. We're mourning. So they will say Sarli Hamakum, that Israel is going to be so crowded that it's going to, you have to make a reservation. It'll be tight space. Gushaliva, come near Asheva, I'll bring you back. Verse 21. When the Jewish people come back to the land of Israel, there'll be lots of faces that it doesn't recognize. Meaning the they say this happens in the former Soviet Union, that when during the 90s, when they had the Soviet Jewish movement, there were a lot of the formal Jewish community, people who were recognized as Jews, wanted to go back to Israel. And it was commonly thought once they went back to Israel, there would be no more local Jewish community because all of the people who identified as Jews wanted to leave. And that's what happened. They all picked up and left. And lo and behold, they were replaced by new ones. And then a lot of those people left, and they're being replaced by new ones. It's like the Jews come out of the woodwork over there. They don't know, nobody recognizes, like people that were in the Soviet Union 20 years ago go back for a visit now. And the Jewish communities are people that didn't identify as Jews, didn't know they were Jews. They just, there's something inside them that makes them connect. And they make up the next, they have a joke about the last 10 Jews, that you'll never have the last 10. Because whenever the last train leaves where people think they're the last ones in the community, they find other ones. And it's just, nobody, who are they? They come out of the woodwork. And so that's what it describes over here. When the time of the people will be coming back, they'll see all kinds of people and they won't recognize them. Verse 21, Mi Yolida, who gave birth to thee? It's like, well, Jews are the children. We're the children of the land of Israel. We're the children of Zion. And our mother won't recognize us. They'll say, who are these children? Anishuk, all these years, I thought that the Jewish people was gone. And I thought that the Jewish people was barren. Golan, Gola Vesura, Vemi Goda. Who raised these people, these children? Where'd they come from? Anina Sharta, I thought that, you know, Jews, everybody thought they were the only ones. And there'll be an ingathering where people will come from all over the world. Again, you see that today. You see people, the truth is you see it even in the shul. You see people from communities in the south or from, there's converts in Bali Tshuva and other people. And they weren't the people that grew up here in Atlanta 30, 40 years. They came out of the woodwork, so to speak. Hashem brought them back, or Hashem brought them to, that's what he's describing over here will happen in the land of Israel in verse 21. Verse 22, Ki ko amar Hashem Elokim, hine esa elagoyim yadi. Now, what about all those nations that won't let us come back or that have been our enemies? Hashem says, I'll take care of them. I'll put my hand against them. Va'amimar misi ve'evi banecha. Not only that, these countries will bring them. So do you know who one of the biggest supporters of Aliyah is today in the world? The Christians. I forgot what it's called. They have a group that pays for Jews to make Aliyah, and they got a rabbi to run the group. It's called, and they're very politically involved, and they push. They're very pro-Israel. In other words, the prophet is saying over here that the Gentiles will feel honored to help the Jewish people come back to the land of Israel. But I'm telling you today, there are charities that are probably the most prominent people that sponsor Jews to come back for Aliyah. I forgot the name of them. Society for Jews and Christians. They're often in the news.
I think it's Christians and Jews.
Christians and Jews. Well, you know me, I Jews and Christians. But they call it Christians and Jews. But it's really Christians. And it's who would think that there'd be Christians would be helping Jews come back to the land of Israel? They shed so much hate for us all throughout the centuries. Today, there are a lot of Christians that... So what people will say is they don't trust them. They're bringing us back because they want us to convert. They want us to. They do have a philosophy that Yashki will come back, and we got to be there. And so there are. But we don't care what their motives are, as long as they bring us back. It doesn't. But it's a real thing. It's just so interesting, though. You have to be able to see when you see part of what a Navi predicted 2,000 years ago, and it's exactly what's happening today. It's amazing. Because if you spoke to a Jew in Poland and you said that your Polish neighbor is going to help Jews go to the land of Israel, he would laugh at you. They're going to kick you. They're going to spit at you. They're not going to give you free tickets to the land. But that's what's happening right now. So that's what it says over here, that these nations are going to bring your children from afar. They're going to carry them in their arms. Verse 23, And their leaders, their kings, here it describes the queens in those days would not be nursemaids. That was considered like beneath their dignity to feed a child. So they had their own nursemaids. Mm-hmm. And what it's saying is that the Jewish children might need nursemaids and the queens will do it. Basically, they will feel honored to do whatever they can to bring the Jewish children back. There's a sad story that after the Holocaust, there were many Jewish children that were put in convents for safekeeping and orphanages, and the Catholic Church wouldn't give them back. And they were told that these are Jewish children and they should be given to our relatives if we don't survive after the war. Sometimes even to the parents, they didn't give them back. The late chief rabbi went to the Pope and begged him. He couldn't even get an audience. They wouldn't hear of it. You know, he said, look, you know, they wouldn't give these children back. So over here, it's telling us in the time when Hashem's, when it's time of redemption, they will be the first ones to bring the children back. And they'll be happy to walk in the dirt and the dust. Actually, they will show you great respect. The Gentiles will show you great respect. V'yadati, and when that happens, you will know ki ni Hashem asher lo yavoshu kovu, that you don't have to be ashamed, and you know that your hope is being fulfilled. Verse 24. Yuchag megibor melakoyach. People had always said, "How will we get back where we've been?" There were many strong nations that took us, the Imshevi, or they took captives. How will we get out? So this is what Hashem is saying in 25. Ki koa ma Hashem. Even there's one thing when people are serving, you know, or are sent into exile. We actually were enslaved, or we were held captive against our will. And people that hold slaves don't give them up. So Hashem says that the nations will give up the people. Gam Shevi Gibor Yuka, even the strong ones. And I'll fight your battle, and I will save your children. 26. And those people that want to oppress us, they will be devoured. People will know not to mess with the Jewish people. Hashem is our Savior, our Redeemer, Aver Yaakov. He's our mighty one. He's our greatest weapon. Okay, that's again the part of the message, you know, to the Jewish people that just was taken into exile and was sold into slavery and felt distanced. So the prophet is telling us, no, Hashem never forgets us. Hashem has us written on his hand, has the ribbon around his finger, and Hashem will bring us back. And not only that, the Gentiles will lead the way, and those Gentiles that don't, Hashem is going to be the fierce warrior that's going to help us. Then it begins chapter 3. Ko amar Hashem. And this is what I was telling you before. People say, oh, Hashem, where was he? There was Auschwitz. Where was he? He's no longer, we're no longer his people. So Hashem says, Ezeh sefer krisis imkom. Where is the divorce? Asher shalad that I sent you. Omi megoshe asher mecharti. Where's the contract that I sold you as slaves? Chas v'sholom. Hashem never did that. How is it that we left? How is it that we feel that we were sold into slavery? We sold ourselves with our sins. That's an interesting idea. In other words, we were only worthy to be in the land because we were doing the right things. And once we sinned, it was like we sold ourselves into and because we rebelled against Hashem, therefore your mother was sent away. That's a very interesting verse. Here, it's almost like Hashem is complaining that people aren't coming back. They're not making aliyah. Madua ba'asi, how come I come ve'enish and no one's there? The Gemara says an interesting thing. It says that when you come to shul and they don't have a minyan, this is the verse that Hashem says, how come I come and there's nobody there? In other words, like, you're supposed to come to my house. Like, there'll be an invitation to come back and people have to want to support it. So how come I come and there's nobody there? Karasi, I call out, ve'enona, sir. Kutzer Yadi Mipdos. Hashem says, now it's time for redemption. Don't you think I can save you? Hashem can move the seas. Asim Naharos Midbar. He can. Sometimes people couldn't go to Israel because they either had to travel by the sea or through the desert. Those are the only ways to get to Israel. In ancient times, it was a big ordeal to come to Israel. The seas that they had to go through and the deserts they had to cross. Dignasa Main Mayim. And a person could die of thirst. So verse 3. Hashem says, if I need to, I'll be Shemayim, I can dry up the sea, Visak Asim Ksusam, and I can give you clothing. Hashem Elokim Nasili Lashim Lamudim. Now here this is Yeshayahu. He says Hashem his job was to encourage the people, so he says Hashem gives me the language to speak. It's an interesting way. Hashem Nasili Lashim Lamudim Ladas La'avis Es Yarif. He says, Hashem helps me give people that are weary. It's very difficult if people are weary how to give them strength, but Hashem helps me wake them up. Davar yar beboker, but every morning, yar li ozen lishmoya bilimudim. Hashem will help me arouse people and give them the right message. Hashem lokim pasikli ozen. He'll open their ears. Vanoki lo marisi. And I won't rebel. Acharlo, I won't turn away. Now, he had to bring a tough message, and some people didn't want to hear the message. And sometimes they smote him. So he said, he gave the message even though people hit him for giving the message, even though he came under attack. Goy gavi nesnati lemukim. He said, I gave myself up to being attacked. Ulechi lemuratim, or man, I gave my cheek to those that want to slap it. Panei lo estarti, my face was not afraid from embarrassment. When he would tell people that you're going to be, the Eretz Yisrael is going to be destroyed and the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed and you'll go in the Golos, and people, they had false prophets who said that wasn't going to happen, and they made fun of him and they fought against him, and he describes that he stood up to all of those who did that, but he also delivered the message of hope. 7. How can I do? It's very difficult to... You know, we often we're in the minority. In other words, when you want to do the right thing, you're going to find people that won't agree with you, and you'll find difficulties. So we don't have to worry, though. Hashem Elokim Yazerli. Hashem will help me. Therefore, no, look, I have no reason to be embarrassed. Sometimes you do what you the right thing, or you stand up for the right thing, and people look at you funny, you know. But if you know that Hashem is with you, you're not going to be embarrassed. Therefore, I make myself like a stone, Veda, and I won't be embarrassed. I knew when I was a teenager, that's when I first became more observant, I didn't always wear a yarmulke, especially not to school. And that was the very last thing for me. I could fast on Tisha B'Av, I could keep Shabbos, but I was embarrassed to wear a yarmulke in front of other people. I was in public school at that time, and I just couldn't imagine, like, it's just teenagers are so sensitive to how other people look at them that I was like fully committed to everything, but I just couldn't bring myself to do. And then at some point it finally happened and I did it, and you know what? Nothing happened. But there was this whole idea, like, the people are going to look at me. You know, well, in the city that I lived, there was a bucket next to the door, and you were expected to put your yarmulke in the bucket. And if you wore your yarmulke out of shul, people would yell at you and say, hey, you forgot to take it off. Because that nobody wore their yarmulke out of shul. The yarmulke was for while you were in synagogue, because you didn't want to look Jewish when you went out in the streets. That, you know. But people built up these things in their mind, and it's like, oh my goodness, my friends are going to see me. They're going to realize, that, guess what, they know you're Jewish. And if they find out, it's not going to be the end of the world. So what are they going to think? You're wearing a beanie, you know, but there is this fear that somehow if we stand up, we're going to be embarrassed. But when Hashem is with you, he tells you that you have nothing to be embarrassed. And this was how he found the strength to stand up against those that came against him. Okay, let's continue on. Verse 8. Karev Matziki. And I know that if I get in trouble, my champion is here, the one who's going to come to me. Mi Yaraviti. Whoever is with me, Hashem is going to help me fight the battles. Mi bal mishpat yagishelai. Hashem is the justice is on my side. Verse 9. Hey Hashem lokim yazeli. Hashem will help me. Mihu yarishenu. If what is there to worry about? Kulam kagbeged yobush. They're like a clothing that gets worn out by moss. I guess fabric, when it gets eaten up by moss, it like falls to pieces. And so he's describing the enemies, those people, they seem so strong, they're just like going to be moth-eaten. Mi bechem yirei Hashem, whoever amongst you fears Hashem, shomea, but listen to my voice. Listen to the voice of his servant, asher holach hashechem, and sometimes things have been dark and there's no light, yiftek b'shem Hashem, have faith in Hashem, b'shon, and you can lean on Him. Be'lo kav, on your God. You can lean on Hashem, you can rely on Hashem. What about all the other people? Hey, kolkem kot ke'esh. Those people, they're just fire. They're just nasty people. They're making fire. Mazri zikos. They're shooting fireworks. It's interesting. Well, I don't know what kind of fireworks they had over there, or the sparks. You know, when somebody's really angry, you say the sparks are flying, right? Lechu ba'or eshkem. I'm going to go in his light, and I'll wake up zikos. Ba'atze miyad ha'isez zos lechem lematzei v'tishkun. So he talks about his troubles in delivering a message that wasn't popular with everybody, but he drew strength from Hashem. And then this continues on through the next chapter. I mentioned the next chapter. I think I've mentioned to you it's not necessarily the next chapter. It's just when the Christian printers wanted to make the sections not too long, they started another chapter. Shomu Eli wrote Feitzedek Mevakshe Hashem. Listen to me. He mentions people that go after righteousness. We believe that Jews, even when they're distanced from Hashem, they have it in their genes to do tzedakah, to be righteous. And so those are people we could talk to because they're connected to Hashem. They seek out Hashem. What people need to do is they need to go back to their roots. And their roots are, when you're a rock, I guess you're quarried from a certain place. So we're going to see Jews that are very distant. They don't know much about Judaism, but they try to do the right thing. They chase after tzedek. So we ask them to go back to their roots. Look at their rock. Val mikvas bor, see where you came from. Habitu. And who is that? And that's in the beginning of 1199. Avram Avichem, your father Avraham and your mother Sarah. When we finish Shmoneh Esrei, we talk about Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. But we finish the first blessing with Magen Avram. And it's because of there's a teaching that all the Avos specialized in different things. Avraham specialized in kindness, Yitzchak specialized prayer, and Yaakov specialized Torah and truth and other things. So the Gemara says, though, the final generation, people will come back because of Avraham. That's why we finish the Shmoneh Esrei with Magen Avraham. And that's this one quality of Avraham, of the Jew, of the kindness. And so his message is, go back to your forefathers. Remember where you came from. You're from Avraham and Sarah. Ki echa karasi, we call unto Hashem, when we call out to the one God, He blessed us, and we thrived. And that's what we have to remember. So now we get to the final pasuk. This is a great pasuk. This, they made it into a few different songs. It's such a nice... For some reason, those verses that speak to people, they turn them into songs because they're inspirational. This is kind of summarizes the whole message of comfort. Ki nichem Hashem Sion, Hashem will comfort Zion, and nichem kol kovoseha, and He will also comfort all of the destroyed things, all of the broken down things, all the broken down people. Vayasim midbara. Now, what about all the deserts? Eretz Yisrael was like a wilderness. Hashem will turn the desert into the Garden of Eden, Ke'eden. In other words, He'll make it a beautiful, thriving garden. What about Ravasa? What about the wasteland? Kagan Hashem. It'll be like a garden of Hashem. And what it'll grow? Sasan usimcha yematzebo. You'll find joy and happiness of what you'll find there. Toda, there'll be the sound of a toda. Toda rabba. Thanks, big thanks, right? You'll have, it'll be a time of thanksgiving. The kol zimra, and there'll be the sound of music. It's a movie, I think, right? The sound of music. But he's describing the Garden of Eden and the, so right now, you know, Israel was destroyed and ruined and, it was a desert and a wilderness. And Hashem is going to comfort the Jewish people. He's going to comfort the land of Israel. He's going to turn it into a garden of joy and happiness and a place of thanksgiving and song. So hopefully soon. But that's definitely a message of comfort, and that's the theme of definitely a Tubav theme. And it's easier than the Tisha B'Av theme. Yeah. That's right.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, And if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.